What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
And we return to Our American Stories. Up next, a story from the only man to have ever competed on the top 40 charts routinely with Elvis Presley. We're talking about Pat Boone. He's had six top 40 hits, to be precise, spending a total of 21 weeks on the charts. And today, he's here to talk about his life in music and the love of his life, his bride, Shirley Boone. Let's get into the story. Take it away, Pat.
When I met her under the grandfather clock in Old Harding Hall, the main building of our high school, I walked up to the captain of the basketball team. I was on the basketball team and asked him, who is this girl you're talking to, Pop? I called him. He said, well, this is Shirley Foley, the daughter of Red Foley, the Country Music Hall of Fame. He wasn't then, but he was hosting the Grand Ole Opry, having replaced Roy Acuff after many years. And then for 9 years, Red Foley was the host. And I was not a big country music fan till I met Shirley Foley. She came to our high school. Her mom was not well, and so she had to be in the dorm at Lipscomb. And we shook hands, and all I can say is I felt a tingle. And she did too. From then on through high school, right through when she was homecoming queen in the senior year and I was president of the little student body, we were just teenage sweethearts. We were already starting to talk about getting married and having kids and how many we wanted. And I was a product of two boys and two girls. We thought that would be great. And we were talking like that when her mom died. Then Red Foley went to Springfield to start the Ozark Jubilee. He was taking his three widowed daughters. I knew what a desirable, beautiful, rare girl she was, and I couldn't stand for her to be off in Springfield, Missouri, and I'm in Nashville, and some guys are going to flock around her, and somebody's going to take her away. And she was protesting, no, she wouldn't let anybody take her away, but I said, look, why don't we get married? We're 19, we're capable. And let's ask your dad. I was not going to ask my folks because they'd have said, oh no, you graduate from college first and then you get married. Well, we were independent enough and in love enough that we asked her dad. And tearfully, because he was now a widower twice. His first wife died when giving birth to Shirley's older sister. And then he married her mom, who was part of a trio, singing trio, Three Sisters in the WLS Barn Dance in Chicago. And her mom was only like 17 when Red married her. And so she was like 18 when Shirley was born, and then she was like 37 or 8 when she died, and Shirley was 17. So when we asked Red, her dad, for his permission for us to marry, tears rolled down his nose into his coffee, and he said, you're going to take care of my girl? And I said, yes, Mr. Red. Naive I was, but I said, yes, I'm going to take care of her. Is this what you want, Shirley? She said, yes, Daddy. He sniffled and he said, I'll buy your rings. And he bought our rings, and he said, well, he said he would buy them. He said, now, when are you planning? This was Saturday. We said, tomorrow. And so we married the next day by our high school principal, a minister, and since the license hadn't come in Davidson County yet, we went over to another county, Springfield, Tennessee, and were married a second time that day, so by a justice of the peace. So we were married twice that day, and then soon after that, we moved to Texas on our own, and I was in college there, and I began preaching in a little country church in Slidell as a student, little one-room church out in a wheat field. I graduated from college, magna cum laude, and the cover of TV Guide in my cap and gown at 23. You open up the cover, and there's my wife Shirley and four little girls. This all happened so fast. I had won, seemed like incidentally, I had won the Ted Mack Amateur Hour 3 weeks in a row while I was still in Nashville. And it was the forerunner of shows like, you know, The Voice and America's Got Talent. The winners were selected by the viewers with cards and letters. The show would appear on Saturday night, and by Thursday, the votes were counted. And if you won 1 week, you would come back for another. And I won 3 weeks in a row. Well, I was thinking of being a singer at that point, but nothing came up. No contracts, no offers. I just had won. I could say in my resume, I had won the Ted Mack Amateur Hour, but nothing seemed to happen from it. And I get a call from New York, and they're assembling all the three-time winners to come back and compete with each other. Well, I was one. And so I was on that show, and they told me I was winning, but while I was having to wait in New York, I couldn't afford to go back to Texas and then back to New York again. So I waited in a seedy little hotel off Times Square until they let me know if I was winning or not. So while I was waiting, I went on Arthur Godfrey's talent show on a Monday after being on the talent show Saturday and auditioned for the Arthur Godfrey show, which was a Monday night. And they put me on that Monday night and I won. Well, that disqualified me from the Ted Mack Amateur Hour because you can't be a professional winner on Monday and then be declared an amateur winner the following Saturday. And I blew it. It was over. I came that close to having a career in music, but it hadn't happened. I get a call from Randy Wood of Dot Records outside Nashville. He'd seen all of this. I was a homeboy, you know, winning these national contests. And he thought that I could make some hit records, and he asked if I'd like to come to Chicago and record. And of course I did, not knowing what to expect, and he had me sing a rhythm and blues song called Two Hearts, Two Kisses, Make One Love. And I didn't know what R&B was, but I listened to that record and I picked up on the flavor of it. One heart's not enough, baby. Two hearts make you feel crazy. One kiss makes you feel so nice. Two kisses put you in paradise. Two hearts, two kisses make one love. And that song that we recorded immediately sold a million records. And I had to do a follow-up record, so in May of 55, I recorded Fats Domino's Ain't That a Shame. His had been number one R&B, which was a separate genre called race music, sold 150,000. I did his song, My Way, You Made Me Cry When You Said Goodbye, Ain't That a Shame. And I did my version, rock and roll, as we were calling it. Mine sold 1.5 million, 10 times what Fats had sold with his own song. And he was thrilled, and he said many times, I made more money with Pat Boone's record of my song than from my own record. But from that time, March of 55, for 4.5 years, I was never off the single chart. I hold that record in the record business. 41 chart records. Elvis had 40. And he was my opening act the first time we met.
Blue moon, blue moon, blue moon.
The kids didn't know who he was, but they liked the way he looked. They didn't like the way his song sounded, because it was a Bill Monroe bluegrass song. Blue moon of Kentucky, keep on shining.
I said blue moon of Kentucky, keep on shining. Shine on the one that's gone and let me blue.
And he got lots of applause when he left the stage that night. And then I went on and I got all the screams because I had 3 million sellers.
And you've been listening to Pat Boone share his story. And my goodness, his rise, his meteoric rise in the music business, it was extraordinary. But my goodness, what he did with his love, the love of his life, going on his knees, not just to her, but to her father, and seeking her hand at the age of 19 and having 4 kids by the age of 23. Now that's audacious. When we come back, more of a Pat Boone story here on Our American Stories.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
And we return to Our American Stories and the story of Pat Boone and his wife, Shirley. When we last left off, Pat had shot into stardom rather unexpectedly. Let's return to the story. Here again is Pat Boone.
So this all happened. I wasn't seeking it. It all just fell on me. I thought it was a fluke. I didn't think this career thing was going to last, even though I was having one hit record after the other. But I was also having one child after the other. And I knew I had to plan on something I could count on, which would be teaching. Well, the day I took my last class at Columbia, I thought I was going to look for a teaching job. I lay down on the grass in Central Park by myself and thought, wait a minute, I've got a 7-year movie deal at 20th Century Fox. I've got the record contract. I guess I'm going to have to wait before I apply for a teacher job. But I always had the sense from that time on that it was for a reason, that I was going to be a teacher preacher originally, and I was being given a different kind of platform. And as a rock and roll singer, not as a preacher and a teen idol. The weird thing is I became a literal teen idol, Elvis's only competition, and he was single and theoretically romantically available, and the girls all swooning over him. But everywhere I appeared around the world, they were swooning over me. And yet I was married with four kids. I mean, it didn't seem likely. There's never been anybody in show business with that kind of a life. It was a hectic life. It was, you know, my folks have been very leery of me being an entertainer. They thought that if I entered the entertainment world, I would be swept away and I would lose my faith. Well, my faith was a real part of who I am, so I wasn't losing my faith, but I was enjoying being invited to all the soirees, the parties, the premieres, and I did some drinking. I was never drunk. They made a lot of jokes about me, of course, Dean Martin, over and over again in his shows. For some reason, he'd bring my name up, that Pat Boone. He's so religious. I shook hands with that boy the other day. My whole right side sobered up.
Y'all know Pat Boone. I guess y'all know Pat Boone. What are you putting me on? He's a beautiful guy. He doesn't drink, doesn't go to nightclubs, doesn't stay out late, lives a nice, clean, monotonous life.
I brought those straws because I hear you sip a little.
Oh, I sip a little, yeah. You know, his idea of a big night is staying home drinking cocoa and rinsing out his shoes. Why did you do this?
And then on Phil, on the Andy Williams show, Phil Harris, the comedian band leader, he said, Pat, you drink something sometime, don't you? I said, no. I knew he meant alcoholic. I said, no. You don't drink nothing, never? And I just went with it. I said, no. He said to Andy, can you imagine waking up in the morning knowing that's as good as you're going to feel all day long? And then he said, Boone, we kid you, pal, but we love you. If I ever had a son, I'd want him to be just like Pat Boone till he's about 3 years old. And, you know, those jokes just, I repeat them in my shows. But I just would show that I could be a part of the party like anybody else. I would go and surely be home with the girls, and I'd go and I'd have fun. And that was, without my realizing it, it was pulling us somewhat apart, because I was obviously having a part of my life was something she wasn't really as much a part of anymore. She's home taking care of the daughters, and I'm out enjoying my fame. And, of course, I was gone a lot. At one point, she got out the calendar and showed me that I was gone 50% of that year. And that's no way to be a real good father and husband either, though she was keeping me involved with the girls all the time. Let's do what Daddy wants here. Let's write Daddy. She was keeping me in their lives, though I was physically absent. So now we hit a period where, of almost 2 years, where we began to live like boarders in a boarding house. We were very polite, loving toward each other, but there was no romance, really. And the kids, they could tell. And there was then a recognition on both our parts that we needed to make spiritual renewals. It happened at a moment when I was walking in this house where I am now, past the piano, and a picture of Shirley is about a three-year-old girl with her arms around her daddy's neck, Red Foley's neck, this loving being with her daddy and him loving her. And that picture always touched me. And this day, I stood looking at that picture, and I began to well up, tears began to well up, and I realized she's still that little girl. Her dad's gone, been gone a long time. Those arms are supposed to be around my neck, and I am the only hope for my four little girls to have the home life and the growing up and the married mom and dad that I want them to have, and it's up to me to get perfectly straight in my life. And I told her how that picture had affected me. Father's Day came soon after that, and she gave me a picture of herself as a three-year-old, but sitting alone as a little child, which she happened to her a lot when her dad was gone. Just a picture of that three-year-old child sitting there alone without her dad. And on the back of that picture, she wrote, Take care of this girl. She needs you. I'm telling you, that experience, the recognition on both our parts, that for us to have the continued life that we wanted to have for ourselves and especially for our daughters. All their friends would come, they were living in broken homes, you know, in the entertainment business. And we came back together, we made new spiritual renewals of our own vows and faith, and we were suddenly hugging and loving, and our kids could see that something had happened to Mom and Daddy. And then they wanted that too. And it's what we call the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It is asking the Holy Spirit to live in you, not just to be around and to bless you, but to actually dwell in you. And that's an important commitment to make. So we did, and that renewal saw us through the rest of our marriage and into now. And I know that she's waiting for me, because he said that he was had in his father's house were many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you, those of you who want to live here and who choose to live here by the way you live your lives. And I know she's there waiting for me, and we're going to be together. So when people say something about my wife passing, I said, yes, she passed into heaven. She didn't die. She's alive, very much alive, and I talk to her all the time. You know, I've had friends say, you know, there's this 77-year-old woman who's very athletic, and you ought to get with her. I said, no, there's never going to be another Mrs. Pat Boone, and I'm getting close to being reunited with her every day. So that's our story. It's ongoing.
And a terrific job on the production, editing, and storytelling by our own Monty Montgomery. And a special thanks to Pat Boone for sharing not only the story of his pop life, his music life, his life as a star, but as a father figure, as a husband, and as a person of faith, as a Christian. I wasn't seeking it, he said about his fame. It all fell on me. I thought it was a fluke. I had one hit after another, but I had one child after another. He was contemplating being a teacher and a preacher, but he decided to do stardom a different way, without the booze, without the train wrecks. And my goodness, that story of seeing the picture of his wife as a little girl with her arms around her father's shoulders. Well, I teared up just listening to it, and I'm sure you did too. A beautiful story about love, about romance, about faith, and how it rises above everything and preserves everything. Pat Boone's life story here on Our American Stories.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyers.com today.